You're listening to Yo Bro Games Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, gamers. Welcome to Yo Bro Games for April 18th, 2006. This is podcast number 5. We're doing a little something different this time, gamers. I'm giving the stage over to Lord Natus. He's had over 50 hours in Oblivion, Elder Scrolls 4, and he wants to share with you his experiences and why he's so excited about this game and why he can't even get himself to load any other games at the moment because he's spending so much time on it. So here's Lord Natus.
Hello, this is Lord Natus, and I'm basically doing a special podcast for a special game. This one is Elder Scrolls Oblivion, and it's just a phenomenal game. And if you have not picked it up yet, I totally recommend this game. It's going to be a masterpiece, and is a masterpiece. On this podcast, I'm basically going to be splitting it up in like three sections. First section is going to be kind of like a review of the game. The second part will be about the arena quests. And the third part will be about the Dark Brotherhood quests. I just want our listeners to understand that there will be some spoilers on those two quests. So that's why I'm doing the first part as a review of the game. Or I should say the review of my gaming experience with Elder Scrolls Oblivion. And from there, you might not want to listen to the second half, you know, maybe after you've done the quest, if you're going to be doing them, or, you know, maybe you haven't even picked up the game yet, which the only thing I'm going to have to say to you right now is, what are you waiting for? That's all I can say about that. Okay, so we're going to start with the first part of it, which is how I feel about the game. Okay. Initially, the game, I was going to kind of hold off on it for a little while because I've heard from previous posts from people and stuff like that that you can basically lose your life playing an Elder Scrolls game. For example, at that time, would be Morrowind. And I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll hold off for a little while, you know, because I'm trying to beat my record. I did 28 games. I finished 28 games last year, and that's a world record for me. And I'm thinking, boy, I could really blow that out because I've already done 11 games this year, so I'm thinking I can easily do this. And for our listeners who also are actually read our posts, you would see on there that I posted, well, thanks a lot, Oblivion, for ruining my record, because it just totally the time that you play on this game, it just seems like it's 5 minutes and you look and it's 5 hours later. The status of where I am right now in the game is I'm level 24. I got about 35,000 gold coins, Septon coins, and basically pretty much did the Dark Brotherhood quest, which I'll talk about later on, and the arena, and just doing some other things too. I'm also a vampire. I really wanted to get that, you know, into the game. The thing that I love best about Oblivion is that the world is actually believable. Now, the only way I can judge this game is how I am running it, okay? And I am running a 7900 GTX OC BFG graphic card, the 512 Mager. You know, I'm, you know, a pretty top-of-line system, to be honest with you. So I really cannot say how it's running for other people. You know, I haven't seen that on anybody else's system. So I would appreciate if our readers and listeners, you know, if you are playing a game with a lower graphic card, I would love to hear how it's running for you. So, you know, send an email. That I would appreciate it. But my experience with the game is, you know, basically once the game got loaded up and you're in a dungeon and the king comes through, you know, and he gets assassinated, and it's like, wow, you know. It's like, it's just really cool. It's like you are in the game. The thing, you know, give you a little background about me real quick about RPGs and stuff like that. I love Diablo 2. I even, you know, I love Sacred. Sacred was really good. I never done massive multiplayer games, and Guild Wars is really a great game, you know, too. But it's like, you know, I always like the Neverwinter Nights, for example. I played that one where it has the pause in the game and stuff like that. Or you could pause it, like KOTAR's, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, KOTAR 2. You know, I loved all of those, you know. But I always wanted a game where I felt like I was definitely in the game. And that's one of the biggest points I would say about Oblivion. Yes, you can have your third-person perspective view, but playing in first-person, it's like you're really there. And I like a game where I feel like I'm doing work. You know, it's like the one thing about Guild Wars is absolutely a beautiful game, and you know, it's free online and stuff like that. But the thing about it is, once you initially click on it, it'll keep doing the actions for you. And in a way, it's kind of, quote, boring for someone like me, where Diablo 2 is like, you click, 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 click. You know, just, you have to do that to kill someone. So I like getting that gratification, you know. But Neverwinter Nights 2, you know, I like it too, don't get me wrong. I should say Neverwinter Nights. Neverwinter Nights 2 is not even out yet. You can tell what I'm thinking about, but it's just, to me, you know, Oblivion is when you have the block key and you do the strike keys and you have to strike the person. It really reminds me more of kind of like a first-person shooter to a point, okay? And, you know, I remember going through the sewers the first part of the game, you know, quote, like the main quest, which everyone starts out at this point. And I remember, you know, coming out of there, the sewers, and seeing the world for the first time. And it's just phenomenal. I mean, it looks so real that you could honestly think, hey, you know, you're in the real world, except, you know, there's elven ruins around, and, you know, it's phenomenal. The system itself, you know, they did a great job. Bethesda, they have done a great job with their new engine. It's phenomenal. The characters, the NPCs in there are very believable to a point. It's just a great, overall, just a tremendous great experience with this game. I told you by level, but I should say about the hours I got put in, which is roughly about 48 hours is what I got put in right now. And it's just been, overall, just a total enjoyment. I think if you're going to be picking up the game or you're playing the game right now, what I have seen so far is I really, really, really recommend that you work on your lock picking. It really becomes very, very important. You know, I know like the auto, you know, like auto unlock is there, but I tell you what, lock picks are very hard. To me, they're really hard to come by on a majority of the game besides, you know, looking into crates and barrels. So I really recommend you learning, getting that skill down and doing it manually, because I know it takes a little more time and sometimes it can be frustrating, but I tell you what, you would just go through lockpicks like water. The other thing I recommend too is like I just do a quick save on the chest that you're doing, and you know, maybe you'd want the stuff, maybe not. You know, you can always go through, and if you didn't really like the stuff that's inside there, then load up your game real quick and don't worry about it. That's what I've been doing. The other thing too that I noticed is with the game, you really want to have either a night eye potion or in my case, I am a vampire, so I just basically use that power for myself, because it seemed like, you know, like going back from the torch, going into the dungeons and stuff like that, it's like it's almost kind of like Doom 3 in a way. I'm not knocking Doom 3 because I absolutely love the game, but it's like, you know, you got to switch back and forth, which it is really easy doing on the game. There's no doubt about it, you know. But it almost made me start feeling like I was playing Doom 3 again, because it's hard to see stuff. And that's the way it should be. And, you know, I don't think everything should be, you know, easy for everybody all the time, you know. And if you're going in a dungeon, I mean, it's going to be dark, you know. It's not going to be all lit up and, you know. So I understand that point. But that's one thing I say about being a vampire, is not only do I have that skill of Night Eye, I also have life detection. So it's like, it really becomes It comes very handy later on in a game when you go through Oblivion and you're going to be closing gates. For my experience, it's nice to have the life detect. Plus, also, going through dungeons, for me, it's easier for me to see who's around the corner and stuff like that, okay? The gates, you know, they start out pretty easy, you know, and then it's like the higher your level, though, the harder they become. And I really like the fact, it's like a pro and con how I feel about the levels of leveling your character. Example would be like if you went through a cave, you know, you might have rats in the beginning and like little goblins, and then later on you have all sorts of different creatures depending on your level. So in a way I kind of dislike that, because it'd be nice to go back through one that maybe gave you a little hard time before, to go through and just annihilate everything that was in there before, you know. Because that it'd be kind of nice, like a little gratification, you know. But it seemed, you know, what happens with the game in Oblivion, the higher skills that you become, the higher skills your enemies become. So in a way, it's kind of disheartening that you can't just go in and just have fun whipping everybody's butt that you had problems with before, to show the gratification of your time and effort. But in the same token, it's nice that you can go through a cave again and the enemies are higher up, so therefore the rewards inside those chests are more eccentric and stuff. So, you know, it's a catch-22 in a way, you know. Pretty much my review on the game, which it's hard to really justify a review of the game because of the fact that you can go forever in this game. But it's definitely a picker-upper. I have, like I said, I got the collector's edition, which was about like $65, and you know I got almost 50 hours in the game. So if you bought the non-collector's edition, you're looking at maybe $1 an hour. So look at the value of that game alone, and you know you can go forever in this game, 100 to 300 hours. I heard on this game that you could do. You know, I can easily see the 100 hours, and what I'm going to be doing with my character right now. Is where I'm at in the main quest, is I'm pretty much at the ending of the game, which I won't say anything about. I'm pretty close to the ending. And it's just a great treat, and it's nice to be able to go back into the game and level my character up more. Because obviously, you know, there's going to be a expansion pack sometime soon, or hopefully soon, or, you know. It's like, you know, so it'd be nice, you know, to use my character that I have right now. That would be great. So I'm going to level them up as high as I can for that. Okay, so this pretty much concludes the review of the game, which is basically, if you haven't picked this up and you thought about what are you waiting for, pick it up. You will not be disappointed in the game at all. Another quick note, I can't believe that people are having a problem paying $2 for horse armor. I mean, the Bethesda, they have done a great job on this game. If you want it, what the hell is $2? Just buy the stuff. I mean, it's stupid. It's only $2. You know, everything shouldn't be for free. I mean, they've earned their right to charge you. I mean, the game is awesome. I mean, it'd be different if you bought the game and it was totally broken. You know, it's like, you know, it's not like that. So pick up the game. If you're going to get the horse armor, get the horse armor. Don't worry about it. It's great. Great game. You'll be totally satisfied. Another quick note on the game. You know, like me being able to be a vampire and be able to roam around the way that I would want to roam around. You know, like Vampire Bloodlines, you know, that was a disappointing game for me because you're pretty much on rails, you know. You couldn't really experience the vampirism the way that you'd want. And, you know, you have to be in before, you know, dawn, and, you know, it's just a great, great experience. So, you know, if you're going to look about being a vampire, you know, if you're starting to do the main quest, it's going to happen to you. So right then and there, you can decide what you're going to do, okay? Okay, enough on that. Now I'm going to just take a quick pause here for people to know that the next part's going to be about the arena quests and also about the Dark Brotherhood. Okay, listeners, we are ready to talk about the arena quests. First of all, I really recommend doing the arena quests because of the fact that it really helps you with your combat skills. And you start off, you go to the arena district, and you go ahead and go in downstairs, and you say, "Hey, yes, I like to compete," you know. And at the time, you have to have either light or heavy armor, okay, which they give you. So you start pounding through characters and stuff like that. And what's really cool about it is you really get the sense of total gladiator feel. It's like, you know, the gates lower down, you got this announcer, "Let's get ready," you know. It's like, it's just totally awesome. And you really fight a lot of different styles. You know, you might have a person who's nothing but arrows to a point. You could have, like, I'll call them necromancers. You know, it's great because you fight a lot of different styles of characters. It's not just your own, like barbarian against barbarian or whatever character you are. And it's so cool because, like, when you win, you know, you hear the crowd cheer even more. And you just start going through everybody. And I really gained a lot of money. I really gained a lot of money just by doing this. And so at the end of it, you have to fight the Grand Champion, which, by the way, he's an orc. And it's just a great experience challenging and fighting this person. I barely had any health left, but it's just totally awesome. So after you go through the, you know, like you win the Grand Champion, there's some stuff I'm going to leave kind of vague because of the point that I don't want to ruin it for our listeners who are actually going to be going through this, okay? But after you beat the Grand Champion and you become the Grand Champion, they say, "Hey, you know, now let's have you fight creatures and stuff like that." So it's really cool because it's like you can fight a couple bears at a time or a mountain lion. And then when your level is up higher, you'll fight like minotaurs and stuff like that. It's a great experience. And when you do fight the animals and the Grand Champion, you are able to use the armor that you have. You don't have to use the armor that, you know, the arena requires you. At that time when you fight the Grand Champion, you can wear the armor that you've worked so hard on, okay? There's nothing negative I can really say about the arena quest. I mean, you're definitely going to make some money. And to me, the main important factor is getting your timing down with the blocking and your striking. And it's nice to see how the combatants, how they have really different styles of fighting. So it's like it really helps you get ready for, like, more of the main quest. You know, I have noticed, like, doing the arena, which, by the way, you can do from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., you know, you rest up and you're ready to go. So you can do two or three arena fights in a day if you really wanted to. excuse me. But when it comes to the, after you defeat the Grand Champion, then it's once a week is what you can do on the arena quest, okay? Okay, I think pretty much that sums it up about the arena quests. And what's really unique about this is that when I'm going to start talking right now about the Dark Brotherhood quests, is that how the arena quests and the Dark Brotherhood, how it started hand in hand for me. Okay, they totally coincide with each other. Because what happens in the arena is, like, once you lay down to rest and, you know, you level up or whatever, I had a Dark Brotherhood member named Lucian come in and talk to me. He's like, "We love the way how you kill. So how would you like to join the Dark Brotherhood?" And it was so cool because it's like, you know, I only slept for like an hour and all of a sudden I woke up and I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" And all of a sudden this character who's got like this invisibility cloak on, he comes in and says, "Hey, how would you like to join the Dark Brotherhood? If you'd like to join the Dark Brotherhood, this is who you have to assassinate someone," which I'm going to leave this kind of vague for, because I don't want to ruin the experience for our listeners who are going to be doing the quests. And it's like, sure, you know, I'll go ahead and do that. You know, So, you know, then after that, he's like, "If here's a dagger for you. After you do this, then you will just meet us in the sanctuary, and then you'll be in a dark brotherhood." So I go ahead and go to the place where I need to go to assassinate this person. And then I come into the Dark Brotherhood. It is so awesome to be in a Dark Brotherhood. And it's like, after I did the quest, there is a character in there of the Dark Brotherhood. His name is Vincent. And what was really cool is, like, I come into the sanctuary itself, which is kind of like an old house is what it is. It's an old house, and you go down into, like, the cellar area. And what's really cool is a person goes, "Hey, you know, you need to speak to Vincent for your next contract." And that's what it is. The Dark Brotherhood is basically assassins who worship the Lord Sithis and who also deals with the Night Mother. And so basically I go speak to Vincent. I look and it's like, he's a vampire. So it's like, oh, that's totally cool. And he looks really cool. The voice acting is like totally great on the character. And so I ask him about vampirism, and he's like, "Well, if you'd like to be embraced, you know, you can basically, I'll go ahead and embrace you, you know, after you do some more missions and stuff, you know." So what's really cool about the Dark Brotherhood quest is that there's a lot of variety. It's like, you know, if you sneak around and you assassinate someone, or, you know, you get like more bonuses and stuff like that. Which I'm more of a guy, I just like to go in there and just kill everything that moves. But there's sometimes I really enjoyed doing the sneaking around. It reminded me of, like, for example, Thief Deadly Shadows, you know. I think the engine does a great job for sneaking around and stuff like that. Especially me being a vampire with the life detect. I know which way the characters are moving and which way they're looking. So that helps a lot. But if you're not a vampire, I do recommend on some of that to do the third person mode, so you can see the corner, you know, the corner where you're going to be going. But a couple of the quests, for example, one of them, I had to sneak into a person's house between a certain time frame, and he always sits in his favorite chair, so I go up into his attic and I loosen the this like big moose head or whatever that's up on top, and it falls down and kills him. So, you know, I had to make it look like a, quote, accident. Another one of the quests had me go into, like, a mansion. This person wanted me to, he paid for us to come in, and there's, like, these, like, five guests, and it's kind of like a whodunit kind of thing, where I go in there, and it's like, if I murder them one by one, without the other person or, you know, other people knowing about who's the murderer, then I get a bonus doing that. And there's multiple ways of doing it. But like I said, Lord Natus goes in and just annihilates people. So that's exactly what I did. So that mission wasn't too long at all. As long as people don't know that you're doing the killing, you get a bonus. Another one, after like that bonus or that mission, this Lady Ochiva, which this was one of my favorite missions, to be all honest with you, is Ochiva takes over after I do all the Vincent ones. Ochiva wants me to assassinate a head guy that's like part of the Legion, okay? Like the protectors of the area, because he knows about the Dark Brotherhood, but they pay him off to his side. But they want me to assassinate him. So I get this arrow called Rose of Sithis, okay? And there's multiple ways that you can kill this guy. One way, he always has a bodyguard with him. And you can go ahead and try to kill him the normal way, which is really hard because once he's got his armor on, he's like 15 levels beyond you, whichever level you are. So it's very difficult. But there's one weakness. If you talk to the bodyguard, he talks to you about, he takes it, he takes a swim at a certain time. So you just follow, you know, get through the day, you know, figure out the time frame of when he's going to be taking a swim, which I'm leaving vague for you to find out for your own, you know, if you decide to do the Dark Brotherhood quest. And it was so cool because I was like hiding, and he takes off his armor and stuff, and he goes into the water, and I just basically use that arrow, and I just kill him right then and there. And it was just like totally awesome, just to be that sneaky, you know. And so after that, Lucien comes back into the picture. I get a letter saying that Lucien wants to see me. And during the time of you being a Dark Brotherhood, there's a betrayer inside our sanctuary of the Dark Brotherhood. So Lucien wants me to purify the whole sanctuary, okay? So you basically go in there, and the character that you... the first person you end up killing as a first mission, which I was telling you about, with, you know, taking a dagger or whatever and killing him, his spirit is able to help you with this. Lucien has kept the spirit for you. So I go back into the sanctuary and I start killing the members, and it was kind of disheartening because you really got close to him to a point, you know. It's like, so killing him, it's like, you know, brother, why are you betraying us, you know? It's like, it was just really like, wow, you know. So I end up killing everybody, and you have to go back and see Lucien. And you get, he says, now that you are a silencer is what I am, you know. And he's like the Black Hand, for an example, okay? He's the Black Hand. He's the whisperer, and you're the silencer. So I basically just end up working for Lucien now. And there's like certain drop-offs where I get my quests, you know. And he gave me this beautiful horse that's called Shadowmare as a gift of my to show his loyalty and love for me. And this horse totally reminds me of the Headless Horseman's horse. I mean, the mare is just absolutely beautiful. It's got like the red eyes. It's got this skull medallion on his head. It's just totally awesome. But the horse is so fast. It's like, it's actually, even just being on the roads, you know, it's hard to keep him on the roads is how fast he is. It was hilarious. But so all of a sudden you start doing these drop, you know, you have to go to a drop off, you assassinate someone and you do it, and then you go to the drop off. And it was like really weird because I went through like multiple assassinations, and I'm like, huh, this is kind of strange. And then all of a sudden I get to the last one for Lucien, and he's like, why did you betray the Dark Brotherhood? I'm like, huh? You know? He's like, well, I can tell by your expression, you're not expecting me saying that to you. So the betrayer must still be in a Dark Brotherhood. So we need to fix this, because what happened was, this is a spoiler, what happens is the ones that I thought I was doing for him, I've been working for the betrayer, and I have been I've been killing our own brotherhood. And Lucien says, hey, you know, figure out, go to the next drop-off and see who approaches there with the false documents and the money, you know. So I there's this elf that comes there, and I'm like, hey, you know, what are you tampering with this? And, hey, I was paid by someone to come in, you know. So you have to go to the lighthouse, and you have to speak to the lighthouse keeper to get the key to go down to the cellar, because that's where the betrayer is. You go down into the cellar. And this guy is basically, his mother got assassinated from the Dark Brotherhood, so he wanted to have revenge. And it's kind of crazy because it reminds me of the second Friday the 13th movie, where the mother's head's on the altar, and that's exactly what's here. You know, it's like, so if you grab the head from the altar, it comes in play a little later on. Because after, you know, I figure out who's a betrayer, and then it's like, you kind of have a vague idea who's a betrayer. You don't really know offhand yet, okay? I'm supposed to meet Lucien in this cabin. So I go inside the cabin, and they've killed Lucien. So they therefore made me the Dark Brotherhood. I'm like the Black Hand now. I become a whisperer. And what's really cool about this part is, like, now I have like the dark robe, and, you know, it's just really cool. It's cool to have this, you know. But they're like, we need to speak to the Night Mother to figure out who the betrayer is, you know. This is where the head comes into play. It's a little Easter egg to a point, okay? If you take out the head, you know, you will see one of the characters be startled by it. So then you know who the betrayer is. But if not, if you didn't grab the head, when you go speak to the Night Mother, which this part was really, really cool, because I love the darkness that comes from being in the Dark Brotherhood. You know, it's like, it is just right up my alley. You know, it's everything that I wanted to be. And to be honest with you, this part of the game was worth the money anyway. And so what happens is, you go to the statue and they start doing like a, kind of like a seance, you know. And the statue kind of comes alive, and you go downstairs, or you go down into the ground, and you speak to the Night Mother, and then the betrayer starts killing some of the rest of the Dark Brotherhood that are down there, except for this one lady and the Night Mother. And once he tries to start attacking the Night Mother, she goes, "You must protect the Night Mother." So you finish the job, and sorry about this, I got a phone call. So after that, you basically go, you protect the Night Mother, and from there you go back into the sanctuary. In the sanctuary, you are the Whisperer. So once a week, you go to the statue and you speak to the Night Mother, and then you take whatever her message and you bring it to, you know, for some reason her name is, I'm just drawing a blank about her name right now. I think it's Aushin. Aushin is her name. And you go speak to her, and then she has money for you once a week. And then also, she has a... She gives you money, plus, you know, there's more people being recruited for the new Dark Brotherhood, okay? So you get free money doing that. Plus, it's kind of cool walking around in the sanctuary, because it's like... you know, they're like just totally admire you for what you've done and stuff, and it's just a great experience being in the Dark Brotherhood, and this pretty much concludes about the quest of the Dark Brotherhood. After that, you just once a week you just go to the statue and basically come on back and you know, get your money plus transfer. Now, one quick note I will say about when you're doing your Dark Brotherhood quest before you become the Whisperer is go speak to everybody that's in your Dark Brotherhood, because they will help you, give you little pointers on how to do some of the quests. The funniest character in a long time is this orc, and make sure you go and speak to him, because he is just a character. If you want to see a little more about this character, just go to our website, yobrogames.blogspot.com, and just take a look at some of my references from Elder Scrolls Oblivion, and you'll see some of the quotes that he's done. But it's just, he is a character. So make sure you always go through rumors with him, okay? Well, I just want everyone to know I appreciate our listeners listening to us, and I hope that you enjoy this special podcast of Oblivion. And I just want our readers and listeners to know we appreciate your support that you've given us, and let us know what you think, okay? This is Lord Natus out, and I'm going back into Oblivion. Okay, bye-bye.